All right. Hello, everybody. We are back. It is RCFB Talk 42. My name is Bob Akhayeri. I'll be joined, as always, by JD and Sirius. And today we're going to have a guest. Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated is going to be joining us, and we're going to be having a talk about all the things that have been going on. All right. So, as we go ahead and set up, there's my first co-host. And we're just setting everything up right now. So yeah, obviously we wanted to set this up just a couple of minutes early, just to get everything all ready to go. We're going to be talking a lot about all the big changes that have been happening in college football or that are coming up, and all the mystery that's going on. And we know Ross has been one of the people covering quite a bit of that. And it's an active situation. All we do know for sure is that USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten, and it's basically going to be a free-for-all for everyone else. So this is going to be a good conversation. We're looking forward to it. We're going to get through some of our own questions and hopefully have a bit of time to hear from some of yours as well. And JD, Sirius, how are you both doing this evening?
Doing well. Been a pretty chaotic week since all the news dropped. Gosh, was it just last Thursday that everything as we know it involving college football just kind of got upended and pretty wild time. So I'm excited to hear what our guest Ross has to share with us and how he handled last Thursday with all of the chaos that ensued.
Absolutely. And that was what was, I think, probably most wild about it is how it all happened in one day. There's a rumor, and then suddenly, boom, by the end of the day, we're getting official tweets before 5 o'clock local time that they're joining the conference. JD, what do you think?
Oh man, it has been a crazy day again, especially with all these like rumors of, you know, what is Arizona and Arizona State doing? What's Colorado and Utah doing? Is Oregon going to try to get in anywhere else? Is Washington going to go anywhere else? I'm really excited to talk with Ross today about all of that. And again, you kind of said it earlier. This is a guy who knows his stuff when it comes to the national reporting beat. Incredibly well sourced. I am really looking forward to this conversation with him today.
So yeah, I see he's just joined us. So we're going to go ahead and send him his invite to speak. Let's go ahead and bring up Ross. We're looking forward to talking to you. And of course, Twitter is going to be difficult because that's always what it is. I think when you get a lot of people in these Twitter spaces, it always acts a little odd. So I'm going to send you an invite to speak. And there you go. You're up here. Hey, Ross, thanks for joining us.
Hey guys, how are y'all?
Great.
Appreciate the invite. Never my first appearance on Twitter Spaces, so I don't feel so behind the times anymore.
Well, we're honored that you chose us for your first, and man, we are really, really excited to talk to you about, you know, this has been one of the wildest weeks in college football, and it has a very high bar to clear that, just to even to qualify that as an actual thing that happens. It's incredible to see this kind of jaw-breaking news of two California schools are now going into the Big Ten. What was your day like when you first heard that?
Well, I was walking into my condo in Destin, Florida for vacation. I was there for about 10 minutes before getting some text messages about the news, and then day one of my vacation was spent bunkered in the bedroom on the laptop and on the phone. So thank goodness that it was pouring rain all day, all Thursday in Destin. I would have really been really been perturbed, but it was a little frustrating, obviously, being day one of vacation, but I've come to learn that's kind of how these things work. That's kind of how college sports and college football has worked really for the last 3 years. We had no off season, no summers off really. We had COVID, and then last year was a lot of NIL, Supreme Court stuff, and then this year, you know, you thought we might have some quiet time, but oh no, we're on another wave of conference realignment.
Did it feel a little bit weird to be in Destin and having to cover breaking news about the Pac-12 and the Big Ten instead of the SEC?
Yeah, that's right. It does seem like every time I'm in Destin, I am writing an SEC-centric story, and I had just been there a month before for SEC spring meetings. It was a little odd that I was stationed in kind of the SEC, I guess you could call it, home away from home in Destin, Florida. That's where, in fact, I was at NACTA earlier last week, I was at NACTA, where a lot of ADs and such gather out in Vegas, and ran into a few SEC people there and told them I was on the way to, you know, from Vegas to Destin. And they said, oh yeah, me too, you know, spending the 4th in Destin. It was like me and all the other SEC people down there. And then I spent a whole day writing about the Big Ten and the Pac-12. So there you go.
So as we've been looking at all of this, I mean, obviously the news caught a lot of us by surprise. I always think, I can imagine Wilner dropped that tweet that started kind of the chaos and just sort of walked away slowly as the explosions were happening behind him. But I think anybody in the media, that's like a dream tweet where you just drop something and then like everyone stops everything. And, you know, everyone has to pick up the phone to figure out to corroborate. But from your perspective, what have been some of the most surprising aspects of all of this, other than the fact that USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten?
Yeah, that's surprising, I think, for many in itself. But it's surprising, but it's not surprising. You know, when we while in Destin on working on the patio overlooking the Destin Harbor, we was able to get some Big Ten folks on the phone and confirm it. I think we're the first ones to actually confirm his reporting, and he does a great job, Wilner, covering the Pac-12. And so I knew when I saw it that it probably was true, and was able to get some people on the phone to quickly confirm it. But we knew we were kind of always heading for this. I think people could see this coming from a mile away, you know, or for the last couple of years, is that we were heading for probably two dominant conferences and a lot of teams nationally trying to get work their way into those two conferences because of money, right? Because of TV money, to be more specific. The Big Ten and SEC were separating themselves, and you didn't need some, you know, and there was something that came out, I think, this spring from Navigate, but you didn't even need that to know. I mean, that really brought in the numbers, brought to light the numbers. But you kind of knew that this was coming, that they were going to separate themselves because of the value of their TV deal. And then it was going to be double, triple, maybe even quadruple of other Power Five leagues. And, you know, I was on the phone with people, various people, just the last, like, 6 months, and it kept coming up every time I talked to somebody, was teams are trying to work their way into this top 30 or 40, into these two conferences, to create this top 30 or 40 teams that, you know, probably separate themselves because of their TV money from everybody else. And that appears to be exactly what's happening with Texas and Oklahoma's move. And then obviously the USC and UCLA's move. That's what's happening. And, you know, it's some would say it probably isn't a great thing for college football. Others might say it's a great thing, and that this new entity, you know, of so-and-so teams will have enough money or whatever to start actually paying players, and it'll be some kind of semi-professionalized league. And, I mean, we, you know, it just felt like, to get back to what I was talking about to begin with, is it was a surprise, but at the same time not. I think the biggest surprise was how quickly this is happening. I think a lot of us and the national media and those within college sports thought it wasn't going to happen this quickly. Where was this rush of movement? But when you think about it, it does make sense. These teams are free agents now because their grant of rights are coming open in the next year or two. So they're kind of free agents, and they're on the move.
Ross, when you talk about free agency, this deal seemed, at least in the initial reporting, that USC and UCLA were the proactive ones that reached out to the Big Ten. Have we seen anything along the lines of the Big Ten trying to push anything behind the scenes, or a Fox partner or something else trying to corroborate of, hey, we want this school for one of these two mega conferences? Or has this seemed to be driven by these individual schools got in front of the pageant first?
Well, I certainly think that it seemed like, at least, that the schools led, especially USC, led the way. However, it's kind of like the Texas-Oklahoma situation, where it's hard not to see the TV partner not being involved in some way. And I'm sure that was the case here, where there was some involvement with the TV partner. To what extent, I don't know. And we might never really know to what extent, because if they are found to have, been too involved, there could be some legal issues, I think, involved here. And we all remember the Bob Bowlesby letter, cease and desist letter to ESPN around when Oklahoma and Texas announced that they were leaving. So I think they're not supposed to be too involved, but obviously I think there was, I'm sure, some involvement. And you've seen things lately about, you know, hey, we're going to have the Fox conference and the SEC conference, or I'm sorry, the ESPN conference, and these two conferences are going to be, you know, leading all of college sports, and they're manipulated by these big television partners. I don't know how true that is, but you've certainly seen a lot of people with fairly deep knowledge of college sports putting that out there. And you've seen a lot of administrators even saying that, not on the record, although a couple of them years ago, I know I saw a quote maybe from like LSU's chancellor from like 10 years ago. It was pretty fascinating. Say that. I think he said that like in 2011 or something, said we're going to have an SEC conference or an ESPN conference in a Fox conference, and they're going to be these super leagues. And so it's crazy that he predicted that, you know, a decade or so, that, because that does feel like where we're headed. So I don't know what the Big Ten specifically's role was in all this, but I think it was similar to Texas and Oklahoma. Texas know you knock on your door. If you don't open it, they're going to go to the house next to you, another conference. And I think something similar probably happened here. I think USC and UCLA may have knocked on other doors.
You know, we've heard some thoughts from people that, well, you know, this is just kind of a step on the way to everybody getting their own media agreement, that, you know, an Ohio State or an Alabama is not going to be happy with having to get the same revenue as Vanderbilt Northwestern. They're going to want a bigger piece of the pie because they bring in more eyeballs. This is just a step towards that direction. But at the same time, we're seeing teams that are making these shifts go in the direction of the two conferences that, number one, have the two strongest ties to the major broadcasters, and number two, have their own fully functioning conference networks. And those ties and networks, it doesn't seem like they're going to really work without enough content to fill them up. And we've seen this with some of the streaming platforms already, that, you know, yeah, it's great to go ahead and announce that you have a streaming platform, but then you're stuck trying to find enough content to fill it up and actually get people to pay attention, to pay your monthly fee. Do you have any thoughts on which way we might see things go?
That's a tough one. I don't. I don't really know where we're heading when it comes to that. But you're right, and you bring up a good point. And it's something kind of, you know, I've kind of forgot about. But you've got two leagues that right, each have their own network. And, you know, the Pac-12 network has obviously failed pretty miserably, and the Big 12 doesn't have really, right, a network. So you have the ACC and the SEC and the Big 10. And I think that's a draw for a lot of these teams, is to be on a platform with a solid, like a strong regional type of network. And I think what you're going to see happen with the next round of realignment is I think that a regional or you know, conference-based television network is a significant thing. And it's where the Pac-12 leadership from years ago, not the current one, failed, right, in the Pac-12 network. And I believe that, you know, the Pac-12 is scrambling a little bit right now. And I think one of the options that have kind of been like put out there a little bit is a affiliation with another conference, whether it be the Big 12 or the ACC. And I think that affiliation may potentially save the Pac-12, but that affiliation is going to have some kind of strong, or going to have some kind of strong conference TV network or regional TV network. The Pac-12 network, you know, wasn't in a lot of homes, even on the West Coast. It's quite shocking. And we don't see that in other regions of the country. We don't see that in the SEC footprint, or certainly in the Big Ten footprint, and to an extent in the ACC footprint. So, yeah, so could the Pac-12 do some kind of alliance affiliation with another league like the ACC, who has a network, and they go in together and have this strong conference network or dual conference network, or maybe it's the Big 12. You could maybe see that happening, or that at least needs to happen. You've got to have a strong conference network. I think that's been proven out in all of this.
One of the things that we've seen recently is the Pac-12 has announced that the board has authorized the right to try to renegotiate the rights for their current network right now. Is there any kind of actual merit to this, or is this more or less like ceremonial saber rattling as they're trying to salvage something?
Well, I do think there's merit. And I think there's kind of an obvious reason why they announced that, why they're doing that, right? Is if they have member schools that are, which I'm sure they are, a little panicked right now and scrambling because they just lost arguably, you know, two of their top three or so brands in their top brand, probably in USC. So there's a little fear that from some conference members that they'll leave. Then what better way to keep them together than strike up negotiations where you can produce a dollar figure on what a new Pac-12, you know, 10-team league or some kind of merger or alliance with another league, or you have added, maybe you add a couple of new members and you try to get a number out there, I would think, a TV distribution number that would help preserve the league and keep everybody intact and keep all your schools a little, a little calmer. So I think that's probably what's happening. If I had to guess, when I saw that news, I figured that's kind of what's going on. And I don't know exactly how that evolved, like if Pac-12 schools reached out to George Kolavkoff and said, hey, we're leaving unless we, you know, or we're leaving depending on our next media rights deal, or we're leaving if we don't start negotiations so we can determine if we would be better off in another league or something. But I could see that happening. And there's no doubt that George is moving quickly here. He has certainly been working, it would seem, very quickly to try to calm his members and try to come up with solutions, whether that's, again, some kind of, you know, maybe taking other teams from other leagues or doing some kind of combo with another conference, or negotiating his media rights to, and that process is long. Usually it takes a long time, but maybe he can, they can have an idea of where they're at, and that maybe will keep intact the league.
Would it bear to mention, like, there could also be the possibility of a backfiring if they do this? Say, for example, they start doing a media rights negotiation, and without the brands of USC and UCLA, it doesn't generate the dollar figure that these schools also could end up going if they go to the Big 12 or choose another solution that's not necessarily unity within the Pac-12. Is there any kind of, like, exit solution in case that were to happen?
I don't know, but you're right. You're right. It in a way, it could backfire, right? If you start digging around and trying to determine what these 10 schools would bring in value wise, and you come up with a number that's far, far lower than a league that is trying to poach your members, then you could be in a little trouble. But most would tell you, I guess. Barring like Washington and Oregon joining the Big 12, the Big 12 new media rights deal and the Pac-12 media rights deal, even with just the 10 members, I would guess they would be somewhat similar. I mean, I haven't talked to any expert or anything, but those two leagues seem, you know, brand-wise fairly similar. Just in the 10 that are currently in the Pac-12, and then the 12, the new Big 12, which will have 12 members after Texas and OU leave, and then Cincinnati and UCF and BYU and Houston come in. I would think those two leagues would be about the same value. It's certainly not going to be like some kind of striking difference in them. I don't believe. Like I said, I haven't talked to anybody, any TV industry expert about that, but I'd be surprised if there's a lot of separation there. So why not get a head start on it if you're a Pac-12? If you're the Pac-12, try to get a head start on it. Try to calm your members by producing some numbers and maybe striking some kind of deal. I guess it could backfire, like I said, but I think that it's probably the right move.
You know, Ross, I know this is probably one of the hottest questions in everybody's mind, especially in the audience listening. And that's trying to figure out what seems likely to happen next. And when we announced that, for example, this talk was coming on the subreddit of RCFB, we had questions like, you know, how safe is the ACC? What does this mean for, you know, an SMU fan? It's like, what does this mean for us? You know, it seems like their chances of being in the Big 12 were diminished, and they were now hoping maybe the Pac-12. But at the same time, you know, would there even be a Pac-12? So I think my question for you is, what do you think is going to happen next in terms of shakeup in this? I mean, what seems logical, knowing, obviously, that things can go completely sideways in a number of ways, or, you know, people can be surprising, and who knows what the next, I mean, no one expected this to happen last Thursday. So obviously anything can happen, but where do you see things headed?
Well, and I cannot say this more clearly. Things are so fluid right now. It's similar. And I've tweeted about it a little bit today. But it's similar to like coaching silly season, the coaching hiring season in December and January each year. It's, you know, like take in everything you read, but believe nothing. You know, consider everything, but believe nothing in the coaching silly season. And in realignment silly season, guess what? Same message. Like consider everything, but believe nothing. Because everything is so fluid right now out there. And sure, like a couple of members of one league could be talking about joining Conference A. They're also probably talking to Conference B and C. And so there's just a lot of discussion happening right now. And I think a lot of discussion is in its infancy. And so a lot of options are in their infancy and possibilities range widely. That it's, man, it is just such a fluid situation. And so I would caution everybody, just like in coaching silly season, to seriously, like, even for me, right? Even from us at SI, like, really be careful what you believe. Because there's just so much going on, and in any like definitive reporting should you should kind of furrow your brow at, right? Because this is not a definitive time at all. And it's probably not going to be definitive for a little while. I think there's just a lot of moving pieces and a lot of possibilities going on right now. And it's kind of a crazy time to be a national reporter, because you know, my notebook, so to speak, which is on my computer, and you know, I transcribe while I'm interviewing people, and I've been on calls all day after a 4-day vacation, and the things I've heard have been crazy, right? Some of them have been wild, and wow, that would shock everybody and whatever. But everything is so early in the process, and there are such few details on some of these things that you can be damned if I'm going to report it. And it's just not there yet. And others are a little quicker, which is not saying they're wrong. But man, I would just be careful in believing everything you read. And just take things with a grain of salt, because it is a silly season right now that we are in.
That's really sensible. You know, one thing that's also, I've been curious, just because of timing, and obviously was being independent of what's going on now, the Big 12 is about to transition commissioners to Brett Yormark. How, and August 1st, I believe. Doesn't seem like the ideal time to change leaders, and how much do you think that's going to complicate the Big 12 in trying to not only keep itself together, but potentially poach off members of the Pac-12 to keep itself relevant?
Well, he has quite the reputation, Brett Yormark, of being a savvy, sly New York businessman. And maybe that doesn't quite fit in with the Big 12, but boy, it's probably a good time to have a smart business person running your league. College sports has turned...
He's a dynamic interview. I've heard a few of his interviews. He's very dynamic. Yeah, it's totally the opposite.
Right, for sure. And so I think having a businessman who can strike deals, you know, and knows a good deal kind of when he sees one, so to speak, I think that's probably good to have. And you know, some people that know him pretty well have kind of called him, and I think they use this word in a complimentary sense, although it doesn't necessarily connotate that, is ruthless. And, you know, like a ruthless businessman. And so I would think that nowadays when you are in a position like the Big 12 might be, where you could maybe add membership or thrust a knife into the side of a competitor, then you probably got the right guy to maybe do it, you know? And from what I understand, he has been involved in some things recently about the landscape of college sports and where it's at. And he's, it sounds like, you know, he's been on the phone quite a bit, you know, maybe working those deals, so to speak. So it is an interesting time, right, to be a new commissioner coming into this situation. I had someone that knows him well texted me on Thursday night and said, what do you think he's thinking now, you know, after all this news? I just wrote back one word, you know, the F word, basically. And I don't know if that's what he's thinking, but that's what I would be thinking.
Ross, you mentioned that, you know, for fans, we have to be careful what you believe when you hear some of these rumors that are going around, maybe even coming from influential accounts or people who seem to be in the know. It seems like things have really started to progress faster from when we hear some of these rumors to when we actually, they become real. You know, last year with OU and Texas going to the SEC, it seemed like that moved pretty fast of, you know, in the span of one day it came out and everybody thought it was this crazy rumor. And then by the end of the week, it had built up steam. And by like a week later, yeah, it was done. And then this year, we've got USC and UCLA going from, you know, Wilner drops the tweet, everybody like immediately stops what they're doing. And by the end of the day, it was a done deal. Do you think that it's social media that's kind of driving the speed that this happens, that people are trying to keep things really, really tight until nothing is leaking until it's done? Or it's just, it's easier to get those rumors out coming from reputable sources? Or is there something else at play here?
Well, this latest deal was shocking that it was kept so under wraps. I mean, it's honestly pretty impressive. And I know there were people at the Big Ten that were quite proud of themselves and of the conference for how under wraps this was kept. Because it was crazy. I mean, I was at NACTA just a couple of days before where there's 6,500 athletic administrators there. Now that's from like D2, D3, NAIA even, compliance people, business side people. And that's kind of where, you know, we got the tip that, you know, we're able to break the news about Brett Yarmark. And we received no tip on USC and UCLA. It was not talked about at all there. I didn't hear anything, no buzz at all. And I think, yes, to answer your question, like, I think social media and just the internet in general, right, it kind of forces conferences and people to, when they're, you know, when they're exploring something like this, where it's so really sensitive, to be more hush about it, because they know one little leak spreads like wildfire now because of social media. And so I think they know they have to keep it really, really, really quiet. And like I said, boy, they did. Now, OU and Texas situation and then this situation were drastically different in that the OU and Texas situation wasn't as far along and was like the actual process was influenced by the news getting out. It was expedited because the news got out. This one wasn't expedited at all. The news getting out had no impact on it because it got out the day it was supposed to happen, the day it became official. I don't think that there was a hurriedly call for the Big Ten presidents to meet that Thursday night. It you know, it broke that Thursday afternoon. I think they had planned a call the night before they had met and informally basically voted. So, man, this one was just really impressive how quiet it was kept to the very end. I mean, it literally leaked hours after the Big Ten presidents gathered and informally voted yes to it. I mean, think about that. That's crazy. So that did not happen with OU in Texas. That was probably weeks, if not going to be months off from happening. But because it leaked, I think it was expedited a little bit. But to get back to your original point, I do think social media has an influence on all this. And the fact that things spread so quickly when they're on there, man, you do not want it to get on there, right? You try to keep as quiet as possible. And I think that's a big reason why these two things, separated by about a year apart, were kept as you know, as quiet as they were. And there's a little explanation behind why each of them were leaked, right? I think we all know by now that the Houston Chronicle, you know, broke the story on Texas and OU. We can go deeper into that. And it was the Houston Chronicle's Texas A&M beat writer who had covered the program and covered it well, Brent Zerneman, for years. So Texas A&M had been very public, right, in that they wanted to be the only team from Texas in the SEC. So you can put the dots, connect the dots on that one. This one came from, you know, the most well-connected Pac-12 reporter, John Wildner. And USC and UCLA had to give the Pac-12 notice before the Big Ten presidents met to accept the application. And I'm sure they did that, you know, within hours, if not a few days of the story leaking. And so you can see probably that maybe from the conference side that came out when they gave some kind of notice. It's been two huge stories that were kept awfully, awfully quiet up until, in this case, the very, very end.
It's striking. I never would have, in my wildest dreams, thought university administrators would be able to be the clandestine secret spies of the universe. But here we are. So just a quick reminder, y'all listening to RCFB Talk 42. We're joined by Ross Dellinger, and we're talking all sorts of things about the shakeups that are happening in college football. We wanted to pull in a few of our audience to ask questions. Adam, you've been really patient. We'd love to hear your question.
Yes. So quick kind of question. You brought it up whenever you first started talking there about, you know, the ESPN conference or the Fox conference or whatever other, you know, type of conference is willing to, you know, kind of control streaming rights. How much did that play a factor into, you know, USC, UCLA going? And do you think there's going to be any changes in kickoff times for when a UCLA has to go east or a Penn State or one of those other, you know, schools has to go west? Because I think that's going to play a big factor in how things work out financially with viewership. I think Pac-12 After Dark kind of killed itself. I think kicking off at, you know, the late times that it did for the rest of the United States. So,
well, I don't know how much like of an impact Fox was on the decision with USC and UCLA. Like, I don't know how involved they were. Like we kind of talked about earlier. I mean, I think people have surmised that that they were involved in some way, and that TV partners are involved in some way, or at least kept updated and might offer suggestions. And we have to remember one thing about Fox too, by the way, and I think Sports Business Journal has reported this and did a few months ago. You know, Fox is going to own, I think, 60% or so or something like that of the Big Ten's new TV media, you know, TV rights. And SBJ reported that Fox has been consulting in, you know, to determine what other networks get the other 39 or 40%. So they're obviously, you know, integral to the Big Ten and would be integral, I would think, to any big decisions like these. Kickoff times is really interesting. That's a great question. I saw somebody mention before about Pac-12. I can't remember who it was wrote about this. It might have been Wildner or John Canzano up there in Oregon, but about how the Pac-12 fans of, you know, LA fans of USC and UCLA better get used to and get ready to watch games at 9 a.m. You know, because they'll potentially be, you know, a USC versus Penn State game at noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. in LA. So that could be an issue, right? The travel in, really, to me, the travel for non-football, I mean, football, you only have 12 games out of the year, and, you know, you've got a whole week to prepare for a game. And so crisscrossing the nation, you know, maybe it's not as big of a deal when you have that much time and such. But, man, what about some of these Olympic sports play multiple games in a week, and that's going to be interesting to see how all that works. I mean, conferences started because of regionality in geographical kind of cultural connections, and now, you know, we're obviously far away from any of that. Nobody seems to care about geography. I'm convinced that in like 30 years or something, we're going to all look back and you know, facepalm, like, what were we doing here? Why are these, you know, why are these teams separated by so many miles and states between them? And, you know, we're going to have something that actually the Conference USA commissioner suggested last year was, let's just hold on. I think she suggested combine a couple of group of five conferences and separate in create divisions by geographic footprint. That way you have natural rivalries and travel costs can be lower and stress on student athletes. And like, we're just, you know, we're heading the opposite direction from that. So the kickoff time is an interesting one. But there'll definitely be some early kickoff times in LA, and then some late kickoff times for those back east, maybe, right? What if Penn State, as you kind of mentioned, what if Penn State plays at USC, you know, which is bound to happen, or Rutgers for that matter, all the way on the east coast of New Jersey, plays at USC or UCLA in a local kickoff time at 8 p.m. over there, and that's 11 p.m. on the east coast. You know, would TV probably kind of contort those kickoff time and matchups to try to ease some of that, maybe, you know, but that's an interesting question.
Cameron, you've been patient. We'd love to hear from you. The glory of trying to unmute. It's going to be in the bottom left. Don't worry. I was about to say, Ross, when you said this is your first Twitter space, don't worry. It's often the first Twitter space for just about everybody in our audience. You know, while we get Cameron sorted out, I'm going to add John.
Hey, are you guys able
John?
To hear me?
Oh, wait, Cameron, sorry, I was... you got it unmuted. We can hear you, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, welcome. I'm in my car, so I've been fighting with the microphone. So I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts are on how concerning it should be for fans of teams within the Pac-12 conference that they put that statement out today that they've approved the conference starting negotiations for TV deals. And it seems like that's something that should have already started. So I'm wondering what you guys think about, one, what USC and UCLA's move says about the processes of those negotiations, and two, what kind of concerns the fans should have that maybe the Pac-12 TV deals aren't working out like people thought they were, and that's why a lot of these teams are starting to bolt.
Well, I don't know that it should have already started to happen, the negotiations for a new TV deal. I say that because usually, from what I understand, when the TV deal, conference TV deal, stuff like this comes open, you start, you know, negotiating around 24 to 18 months before the deal comes open. And of course, I get all the dang TV contracts confused, but I think the Pac-12's, you know, ends after the 2024-2025 season, I want to say, although I'd have to go back to my story on Friday to get confirmation. But anyway, it wasn't quite to that point where, you know, this is definitely an early start to negotiations, where you're more than two years, you know, out. So I don't know that I'd say that they're behind or anything, but I think, you know, if I'm a fan, you mentioned fans of Pac-12 schools, and I mean, I you know, I'd be interested to know actually how fans of Pac-12 schools feel. I don't know, you know, do they want their school to stick together and have the 10? Do they want their schools to maybe go off to another league like the Big 10 or the Big 12? I'd be curious to see what the Pac-12 fan base at different schools thinks, and I guess it's going to be different depending on the school. But look, the West Coast and the Pac-12 is a very different place than right a lot of the rest of America. I mean, America, COVID has taught us one thing. My goodness, America is fractured and more regional than I ever thought it was, right? You've got 50 states, but you've really probably got 4 to 5 regions that are just so different. And I think the West Coast is very different from all those other regions, which, again, makes this move with USC and UCLA all the more head-scratching, because they're going to the Midwest, where culturally and geographically they just don't fit.
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 people are – I'm a reporter here in Oregon, so I've been around the Oregon State fan base a lot. And I think the biggest concern for the Pac-12 when Kliavkov took over was the TV exposure and the awful TV deals that they've put together. And he was really gung-ho in that first press conference about fixing all that up. So I think that USC and UCLA dipping out, and now you're starting to think about losing Oregon and Washington. You're thinking about losing some of your biggest TV markets there in your conference. It has people around the Pac-12 kind of, I don't know, but I think more relieved mode that the teams are going to go somewhere where they're going to get better exposure to the country.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, they're going to get more money in the Big Ten, those two teams, and they're going to get better exposure. And that's why, you know, the commissioner and his executive board of presidents probably need to, as quickly as possible, find a solution that calms all the other 10. And the way to do that involves TV, involves TV money. And I'm sure that's why, again, we saw this morning them approve the start of negotiations, because it's time to kind of try to lock in members and keep them.
Ross, we want to respect your time. We know initially you said you'd be able to do 45 minutes. We've got quite a few people listening and a few callers, but if you've got to go, we respect that. We know this is probably one of the wilder, especially this is your day back from the holidays, and I can imagine how jammed it's been.
No problem at all. I can go for another 15 minutes to 11 Eastern. That's fine.
Excellent. All good. We appreciate it. We really appreciate that.
No problem.
John, you've been really patient. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Sure can.
Awesome. So a big question I had is just regarding, you know, the continuing rumors and news of conferences, you know, still wanting to expand even more further down past the 16 members. And actually, I think during one of these talks were hosted, I actually asked about the realisticness of having 16 member conferences. We had that conversation. But now, you know, we're hearing rumors and conversations of conferences wanting to move to 18 members, so 20 members. I mean, how realistic is it to have that many people in the same conference about watering down your program at the same time when you're that size, like that size, not only just for football, but for other sports as well?
Well, yeah, it makes it hard. And I'll tell you what, we've talked a lot here about TV media rights and TV packages and the TV money and all that stuff. And one thing it does when you expand your conference with each member that you're adding, you have to split the TV money with another person, another school. So if you are a 10 person league, and just use an example here, and you every year your TV contract distributes $30 million to each of those 10 teams, and you add two teams that don't increase your overall value or increase it very little, you could be looking at $25 million in cuts over 12 teams that you have to split. So whenever you add a school, it needs to add enough value so your yearly distribution goes up. And obviously the Big Ten did that, right? Just with USC alone, getting the LA market, and along with it, getting UCLA, the name brand with basketball there, and in USC football and LA market, all that made plenty of sense where the value will increase. And I think I've seen where, you know, the LA market and then those two schools are like hundreds of millions of dollars of value every year for a TV contract. So Big Ten added two teams. So you have to split more money. Yeah. You know, instead of 14, you're splitting it among 16, but your value went up so much that you're going to get, even with adding those two teams, you're going to get more money. So as long as a conference can keep on going up with value, and as long as the yearly distribution to each of its teams will rise with the addition of members, guess what? It's going to probably keep adding members. Like, that's kind of how it works. And I'd expect that's why you see a lot of kind of buzzing about 18 and 20 team leagues. Now, you have to ask yourself, gosh, if you're the SEC and Big Ten, you're the top two there, what schools will add enough value where your annual distribution increases? And gosh, there ain't very many out there. Like, they're just not. Washington and Oregon probably are two of those, maybe. Some would even say just Oregon might be one of those. Clemson, you know, North Carolina, maybe Florida State. I mean, the list is getting smaller and smaller. And that's why it's such a significant deal, I think, for what the Big Ten did. It took that small group of teams, right, 4 to 6 to maybe 8 at the most, ones I just named, that would add value that are outside of the Big Ten and SEC, and that would add value to those leagues. It took two of them, basically. And it certainly took one of the biggest in USC. So when you look at the race to get to like an 18 or a 20, if it doesn't add value, sure, it might hurt your competitor league, but you're not going to take nobody's going to take a voluntary pay cut at work. Like, these conferences, they're not going to take a cut. So you have to add enough value, and that's what you should watch going forward. It's the same thing, you know, we talked a lot about the SEC and the Big Ten, but the Pac-12, you know, what do they do now? Well, I mean, if they add two members, they better increase the value, because right now they're splitting it among 10. If they're splitting it among 12, they're going to need two members that create enough value. And it's the same for the Big 12. You saw what the Big 12 did, adding UCF and Cincinnati. And BYU, I mean, those in Houston, I mean, those are big markets, right? Orlando and Houston and Cincinnati football. And obviously BYU is a huge following. Those added some pretty good value and they made sense. I wasn't necessarily expecting them to add four, but they did. And so they thought that it would add enough value.
Breaking in real quick, a little bit of breaking news coming in from CBS Sports. Dennis Dodd reporting that the ACC and the Pac-12 have been discussing a loose partnership that could include a championship game in Las Vegas as a way to pony up some additional money from ESPN. Just breaking in with that latest news. That's the latest report from Dennis Dodd, broke about 5-10 minutes or so ago. So we're talking about, the media rights and possibilities for the Pac-12 trying to come up with a couple of new possibilities. Apparently, at least one report of one of the ways that might be able to happen.
Yeah, and that's what I was mentioning kind of earlier, right? It's like the ACC network is a big part of this very, again, in its infancy, early stages of discussion. And I think I want to say Wilner in John Canzano from out of Oregon reported somewhat part of this earlier today, kind of maybe even hinting at it, at the potential for some kind of, like, it's more, from what I understand, it's more of a broadcast partnership that may or may not involve ESPN. You know, it sounds like it does involve ESPN. So I think that is something to keep an eye on. But again, I think it's an option, but there are a lot of options out there, right? There are a lot of possibilities out there. And I think we're a long, you would think that we're a long way from something being settled, but it is definitely, that is definitely something that I've heard being discussed and something that even some local reporters out West had mentioned earlier today.
Josh, you've been patient. What's your question?
Hey guys, I was just wondering if you had any insight on what the Big Ten is going to look like after all this. I know it's been a lopsided conference. I'm a Michigan fan. Long wanted the divisional realignment with all the best schools being in the East, seemingly. Do you think they'll stick with the East and West and stick the USC in the West, or will they go with a different kind of approach?
Yeah, I probably haven't even read enough about the plans, but I think the original plans were most conferences, including the Big Ten, were going to dissolve divisions. I think you're going to see that happen more across the landscape of college sports. You'll see divisions going poof. Just like geography doesn't matter anymore. You know, divisions were created in part for geography and travel purposes, and it just doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's not as important as it once was. So, you know, I think that I think you're probably going to see divisions go away, or that's at least a lot of the plan in a lot of leagues, including the SEC.
OS Beaver, love to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm feeling, you know, reasonably confident here as a Oregon State fan in the state of Oregon. I know that, I don't know, to me, some of these moves, it almost just feels like there's a little happening behind the scenes. I think there's more power in the, you know, in the TV studios and the broadcasters than there are in the conferences, you know, and they're kind of influencing this stuff to a pretty good extent. And so if you take a team like Oregon, you know, if the Big Ten is actually currently, you know, on hold and it's not an offer isn't on the table right now, you know, that would be their preferred choice, that or the SEC, you know, and that's apparently what Phil Knight wants, one of those two options. But the third option, you know, would basically be you take your Pac-10 and you add six Big 12 teams, and instead of, like, you know, six teams going to the Big 12, you know, Oregon has a fair amount of influence. Phil Knight has, you know, still quite a bit of influence, and, you know, it would set up Oregon stronger, and I think that's going to play some of a factor. If they have to really fall back to that option, then they're going to want it to be as good for Oregon as possible. I mean, you see ESPN game days at Oregon at least twice a year. And so I feel like, and then in that scenario where we took six Big 12 teams, the way it would happen is because of dollars, right? ESPN would just find this the better kind of setup. And you're kind of hearing some stuff about that. Like, it's probably best for ESPN if the Big 12 is the one who's not necessarily sticking around in the strongest fashion. You know, because the ACC is tied up, there are some options there also. But under this 18-team Pac-12 with its 10, or actually it would be 16 teams, and then six teams from the Big 12 under the deal, they would all become Nike schools. And then you would also still have a conference championship in Las Vegas. You know, and then you're also hearing some talk about this loose affiliation with the ACC. That makes me feel kind of weird because I'm not sure what the, you know, how it could be guaranteed to last very long, and what wouldn't keep, you know, FSU or Clemson from being pretty easily pulled by the, you know, SEC and some other things. So I kind of actually find this one with the Big 12 somewhat appealing, even though the ACC and a bi-coastal I think is interesting too. But maybe this 16-1, you know, 10 Pac-10 and the 6 from Big 12, you know, you could bring in some pretty good brands, Oklahoma State, Baylor, you know, maybe TCU, Texas Tech, Houston and Kansas perhaps. And that's a pretty good market. So you got really strong recruiting and TV that kind of makes up, or, you know, if they wanted to take two off that list, there's the chance they could fill in with maybe a San Diego State or a UNLV, something like that. But
that's a good question. I mean, Ross, what do you think? What are you thinking here?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that everybody's trying to jockey to be the number three conference between the Big Ten and the SEC, and the only way to do that is some kind of merger of the biggest brands in the remaining three leagues, right? So whether that's the ACC adding three to four of the big brands, or the Big 12 doing it, or the Pac-12 doing it, you need to get, you know, the big brands that are remaining are spread over three leagues, if not two leagues, some might say, now that USC and UCLA are going to the Pac-12. So maybe there is, yeah, there's some kind of jockeying to get the big brands in, the biggest brands left in one conference. That way you have a top three, so to speak. And that's kind of what, just watch. I think that's probably what the goal of a lot of this movement be, is trying to be that number three league.
Well, Ross, we really appreciate you taking time tonight to speak to us and our audience, and adding some time to it. So on behalf of all of us, we just wanted to thank you.
No problem at all. I appreciate the opportunity. It was a fun hour.
Great. It was fun. Yeah, it was a fun way to try out Twitter Spaces for you. So on behalf of myself, on behalf of JD and Sirius, we wanted to thank all of you out there. I'm Bob Akairi. This was our CFB Talk 42. We do these pretty regularly, usually always on a Tuesday night, but other bonus ones if we can arrange something. So thanks all of you for joining us, and we hope you all have a great rest of your evening. Good night.